We are back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode number 50 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm joined here by Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
Better now that I'm talking to you.
100 days. 100 days since our last recorded episode. It's been a bit of a hiatus. We both kind of took time, enjoyed our summers. I'm in my college dorm right now recording this. So definitely a very different experience, but I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be talking, and it's football season, so
hopefully we don't take 3 months off again.
I don't plan on it
because Anthony and I are lazy. Just kidding.
Yes, no, we are.
Yeah, kinda. All right, well, anyways, we're happy to be back. Today's the NFL preview. Giants, Jets, you know the drill. Hopefully better than last year. It can't get much worse, can it?
It can't. You know what? The Giants had a promising end of the season. I'm sorry. They did.
Yeah, that episode was fun.
So the last time that we talked
about football, we were like ranting about the Eagles.
Yes, that is true. But the last time that we talked, period, the last time we had a recorded episode was June 1st. We were still
down 3-1, and then we were sad to record when they got eliminated.
And then we just procrastinated.
You know what? Let's just rapid fire for like 2 minutes here. Just talk about how the Knicks got eliminated.
I don't want to, bro. I already passed this. I've already
gone. The Knicks lost in five, but the Brooklyn Nets did not win the NBA Finals. Best case scenario.
Yep. Okay, we're good now. We'll get more into Knicks. We'll get into more Mets and Yankees for our next episode.
Kemba and Fournier are Knicks now.
Yes, so we'll get more into that for the next episode. But for now, we're going to talk NFL preview, Jets and Giants, what we're expecting from this season. So I think the best way to do that is start by recapping this past offseason. I'm going to start with the Jets draft. We'll go to the Giants draft right after. So Jets obviously had the second pick in the draft, Mr. Zach Wilson himself from BYU. I'm just going to talk about Zach Wilson for a second. So
go ahead. Talk about Zach Wilson. Do it.
Going into the draft. I didn't have the highest hopes for Zach Wilson. I was really like hoping for a Deshaun Watson trade low key before all the stuff happened with his sexual assault case, that kind of thing. But in terms of Zach Wilson, like I wasn't too high on him. Looking at his preseason play, looking at the way that a lot of people are raving about him, I have higher hopes. I have learned to not put any hope in the Jets at any point for any reason. But in terms of this, like, it seems like, I mean, you're not going to know anything until he gets on the field for a regular season game, but it seems like he's getting a lot more hype than I saw Darnold get during his first preseason, that kind of thing. So, you know what? I'm hoping for the best. I really hope that he could be at least a starting caliber quarterback that we don't have to ditch after 3 years like we did with Darnold. So that's our first pick, pick number two. We also had another first-round pick. We traded up. We got Elijah Barrett Tucker. I thought that was a really solid pick. I really was – that was one of the guys that I really wanted. So I was very happy with that. Solid. He's our offensive guard right now. He's had a bit of an injury issue that's, like, lingering, nagging in the preseason. But I think he should be good to go for week one. And then my favorite pick in the draft, personally, was Elijah Moore. They got Elijah Moore with the second pick in the second round. Dropped a lot farther than I expected him to, but overall, I really think that this guy could be it. Like in terms of the Jets wide receiving core, we have Corey Davis, Keelan Cole, which I'll get more into for when I talk about the offseason, Jameson Crowder, who's out for next game, Denzel Mims, who still hasn't proved himself, but you know what, that's what this year's for. And now Elijah Moore, I'm a lot more confident than I was last year with the randoms that we had. So I really think it was a solid pick. They got good value for their draft position. They didn't have a third round pick. They traded that away. Their fourth round pick was running back Michael Carter. I thought that that was also a really solid pick. Michael Carter is just someone that, you know what, we don't have any running backs. Our running backs right now are Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, Michael Pirine, and Michael Carter. So Pirine proved last year that he didn't really have too many opportunities because Gase just kept using Frank Gore, but Michael Pirine is not the starting running back for the New York Jets that we thought that he was going to be, which is unfortunate. But in terms of the Tevin Coleman signing, in terms of Ty Johnson, they're both solid pickups. They're both solid people on the team. Ty Johnson was already on the team. But Michael Carter, I feel like if he develops correctly, he could be – he's not going to be the next Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to be the next Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry. But you know what? He could be a solid starting running back in the league. He's good at pass catching. He's got some speed on him. He's elusive, solid pick. I won't go through all the fifth-round picks. But one of my personal favorite draft, or I'm sorry, one of my, so I have two Jets players that I want to talk about real quick that are just both rookies. So they have their sixth round pick, Brandon Echols. Brandon Echols is, I think that's, I'm pronouncing that right. He is the cornerback right now for the Jets. I think, so they haven't announced their starters yet, but the Jets released Bless Austin. So it looks like that the cornerback two is going to be Bryce Hall, Brandon Echols, and I'm forgetting a few, but there's just a few people up for that debate. So it's Jets are going.
His name is Bryce Hall, just to interject for a second.
I hate you. His name is Bryce Hall. So
I want to hear a secret. Me and Anthony got in a huge fight. That's why we weren't. No, I'm just kidding.
That's not true either. God, why do you have to? You know what? Maybe I shouldn't have recorded this episode. Maybe we should just not do this anymore. No, I'm kidding. So Brandon Echols, I really like. I've seen tape of him. He was at Kentucky. I really like the pick when it happened and the way that he's been playing over the offseason and in the preseason. I'm really excited to see what he does. I think he can be a starter for this team. Second, I really liked undrafted tight end, Kenny Yeboah. I don't know. Like, I just, for some reason, fell in love with this guy over the offseason. Unfortunately, the Jets cut him. He's on the practice squad right now. But with all the Jets have no depth at tight end. That's like their two main sources of concern for me are tight end and cornerback. So Brandon Echols and Kenny Yeboah, I hope that Yeboah is able to get activated or brought up to the active roster for at least a few of the games. I wouldn't see why he wouldn't be, because there's always injuries. Jameson Crowder's out for week one game. So I'm really hoping Yeboah gets his chance, because I think that he can be really solid. He had one preseason game where he put up 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just someone that I think can be a very solid starting tight end in this league. And for someone like the Jets, or for a team like the Jets, where their only tight ends are Tyler Kroft, who's a blocking tight end, Ryan Griffin, who's injury prone. And I think that's basically it. I don't think they have anyone else. I know they had Dan Arnold. I think they cut him, though. I'm not sure if he's on the practice squad or not. But regardless, the Jets need tight end help, and I think Yeboah could be that guy. So that's my personal opinion on the Jets draft picks. I'll let you talk now. Talk your Giants.
Well, I'll say something about the Jets, and we'll get more into this a little bit later in the episode, is that the Jets are relying a lot on their young players this season. This is very much so a rebuilding development season for the Jets. I don't think there's really any debate there. Obviously you want to win more games than you did last year. And I think the Jets will, but you know, they had a big draft class. The Jets, how many draft picks did the Jets have last year? Was it like 9, 10?
I don't know if they used all 9, but I think that they went into the draft with 9. Yeah.
It was okay. Yeah. So yeah, that just pushes my point forward, including a rookie starting quarterback. The Jets are putting a lot of faith in their young players this year. We'll see how that goes with them, as the season progresses. But on the Giants side, the Giants only actually had 5 first-round picks this year, or 5 picks in the draft total. If we had 5 first-round picks, that would be crazy. But anyways, first pick, obviously, everyone knows the Giants had the 11th pick overall, I believe. They traded it to Chicago Bears when the Eagles jumped them to get Devontae Smith. No, I was not salty. They drafted Kadarius Toney with the 20th overall pick. It became very clear to me that the Giants were going for a receiver when they traded down, because when Devontae Smith wasn't there, they thought they could get more value and still get a receiver as well. I guess they didn't really love any of the offensive line guys. I guess they didn't really love any of the edge rushers in the draft, but, Kadarius Toney, he's been working with a couple of injuries through training camp. I believe he's going to be starting week one regardless. I'm going to have to double check on that, and I will. But, you know, he's a really interesting pick. He's a very explosive player. Went to University of Florida. He's got a ton of playmaking ability. Run after catch was fantastic for him. He's an absolute speed demon. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Giants made it evident this whole offseason that they wanted to get Daniel Jones as many toys to play with as possible. Obviously, Saquon Barkley coming back and being healthy is huge in that. Kadarius Toney could be an X factor if used correctly. Sterling Shepard is always a better wide receiver when he's not WR1. And obviously Kenny Golladay, who we'll get into more later when we discuss free agency. But just to put a bow on the Kadarius Toney, went to University of Florida. Guy's really fast. Expect the Giants to use him in really creative ways, is at least what I'm hoping for, if Jason Garrett has any brain at all. But yeah, I think that he's a big-time boomer bust guy. So if he can stay healthy, hopefully he can give us a lot of production this year. because he's definitely got the talent, but we'll see if he can put it all together. The second pick in the second round that they made was Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. Now, I really, really liked this pick. Guy's got a ton of speed coming off the edge. He's more of a rushing linebacker. I think that his draft stock was a lot higher prior to the draft, obviously, because I think he was projected as a first-round pick in a lot of circles, and he ended up falling to the Giants. And, you know, the Giants' secondary is, in my opinion, top 10, borderline top 5 in the league. They've got a ton of depth. But other than Blake Martinez, their linebacking core and their pass rush weren't as bulky. And I think Azeez Ojulari is a guy who can come in, bring a different look, help the Leonard Williams of the world in the pass rush. And, you know, ultimately he's probably not going to be much of a coverage quarterback, but to give Blake Martinez a buddy to his left, that'll be good. Hopefully that pans out well. And then their third round pick was Aaron Robinson out of UCF. He was a cornerback. I think this is purely depth. I think that none of the Giants' last three picks, so I'm going to go through them pretty quick, are going to get very many snaps, or they certainly won't start at least. But Aaron Robinson, certainly a depth pick. In all honesty, I don't know too much about him. I didn't research him much at the time because I figured the Giants, they really did have – they went all out and they got a lot of – they filled a lot of holes in free agency, hopefully. That's what they seem to think. But he'll probably be like the fourth or fifth string cornerback. If there's injuries, I expect to see him. And then they took Ellerson Smith, linebacker out of Northern Iowa, with their fourth round pick. Once again, this seems to be more of a depth thing, but as I stated earlier, the linebacking core for the Giants, other than Blake Martinez, obviously, is not their strongest, most depth-filled position. So, you know, if he gets some snaps, you know, hopefully he can surprise some guys. He's big, he's tall, and he jumps high. That's what I do know about him. I know he's a big dude for his position, extremely athletic. Hopefully that pans out as well. And then with the sixth round pick, they took Gary Brightwell, a running back out of Arizona. Nothing too special out of this guy. I think he'll be, if anything, a third down back. Actually, I think the Giants might have cut him, actually. I'm not totally sure, to be honest. But that's why we're getting into
uninformed.
Either way, it doesn't matter if Saquon Barkley's healthy, so I'm not going to get too much into that. So, yeah. You ready to get into free agency?
Yeah, so let's get into the Jets free agency real quick. We kind of messed up the order. We should have really done free agency before the draft just because of timeline, but it's whatever. So Jets free agency, if you asked me about a month ago, I would have said that the Jets had an A-plus free agency. Maybe not A-plus, but like let's say A-minus. I thought that the Jets had a very solid free agency. So unfortunately, since then, things have changed because of injuries, with the most prominent being the signing of Carl Lawson. So Carl Lawson is coming from the Bengals. He's a fourth-year player. They got him for 3 years, I think 45 mil. And the way that the reporters were raving about him in preseason and nothing but good things. So I was really excited. He seemed like he really enjoyed the Jets culture. And then about two-ish weeks ago, they announced that he was out for the season because I think he tore his ACL. So just really unfortunate timing. Sucks. The Jets traded for Shaq Lawson, so we're going from Lawson to Lawson to kind of replace him, but I had high hopes for Carl Lawson. I'm hoping that he's able to recover quickly and that next season will be better for him, obviously, but it sucks. You can't do anything about it.
Injuries just suck. Like, there's no other way to say it. Like,
Jets also signed Benny Curry from the Eagles on a cheap 1 year, like $1 million deal. It was just a low risk, high reward deal. And then they announced that he's out for the season because he has a very rare condition that he found. So he's trying to play again next year. I'm not sure the logistics of it, but once again, wish him the best, wish him a speedy recovery. But that's another one of the signings that the Jets weren't able to go through with. Same with Jerod Davis. They signed Jerod Davis from the Lions, linebacker, another cheap, low risk, high reward one. He was a former first round pick. I think it's just a one-year deal. He's out for the first 4 weeks, I believe. I might be wrong about that. It might be a little longer, might be a little less. But overall, like, the Jets are just getting unlucky with the way that they try to revamp the defensive line. They try to revamp their linebacking core. It seemed like it was going well, and then injuries and everything killed it. So unfortunate there. In terms of their other signings. They signed Corey Davis and Keelan Cole as their two wide receivers that they signed this year. So I was a little skeptical at first at the Corey Davis signing because, you know what, I thought that he just had one good year with the Titans. They gave him 3 years, 38 mil. It's a lot for someone that's not, I don't know, not that experienced really to be a wide receiver one. But I really think that they made a solid enough choice because, you know what, even though that there's a lot of money guaranteed, I think 27 mil out of the 38 mil is guaranteed. They're betting on his potential. That's really as simple as that. They're betting on his potential. And the way that he seems like he wants to be part of this Jets organization, from the way that he talks, the way that people have talked about him, I think that the Jets need a wide receiver. Zach Wilson needs a wide receiver. One of the things why Darnold never panned out was he never had weapons. He never had a line. And the Jets are trying to make sure they don't make the same mistake with Zach Wilson. I really like what Joe Douglas has done. I got to say, I got a lot of respect for the dude. I like almost every move that he's done. So they also signed Tevin Coleman. They signed LaMarcus Joyner. Just some solid options where, you know what, they're not going to be starters. LaMarcus Joyner could get a lot of playing time. Tevin Coleman will split carries with Ty Johnson, Michael Pirine, and Michael Carter. But in terms of the Jets free agency, it's just – It's unfortunate. There's no other way to put it because it's injuries, it's everything. But you know what? I have hope for this season. I think that the people that they did get, they got Justin Hardy too, who's a really good special teams player. So no massive signings. Their biggest signing was Carl Lawson and Corey Davis by far, just because of name recognition. They didn't end up going for someone like a Richard Sherman, which I thought that they would do. But in terms of the way that they handled this free agency, solid. That's my way to put it right now. They got Tyler Kroft too. I forgot to say that. Just a blocking tight end. Jets need more tight end depth, but Kroft is not a bad pickup, and there's virtually no risk with the pickup because he's got a cheap contract and he's a solid blocking tight end. So I'm definitely forgetting a few people, but it's no one I think stands out more than the ones I've said. So overall, solid free agency. Sucks because of injuries, but there's nothing much you could do.
Right. And I think something that's important to note with the Jets is that they are much clearly more talented this year through their free agent class and their draft picks and younger. So that's something to keep an eye on, as I said earlier. So to get into the Giants here real quick, obviously the big one, I'll get it right out of the way. Kenny Golladay, the top receiver in the free agency class, signed with the Giants for a 4-year, $72 million deal. I think it was $28 million guaranteed. He's 28 years old, and look, it's a big contract. It is. He's the sixth highest paid receiver in football, and I don't know if he's necessarily even. He's definitely not a top five receiver. He's borderline top 10.
He's not top 10.
He was hurt last year. Like it, if he's not top 10 this year, he's definitely not top 10 this year. But you know that's what the price you have to pay on the open market, and the Giants needed a receiver, so I really can't be unhappy with the deal. The Giants haven't had a receiver as talented since Odell Beckham Jr. In his prime, obviously. And, you know, like I said earlier, they're trying to get Daniel Jones more weapons. Their first round draft pick was a wide receiver, and the first guy they went after in free agency was a wide receiver. So the plan the Giants are putting into place is becoming pretty clear. An underrated signing for any team this offseason, in my opinion, is the Adoree Jackson signing. 3 years, $39 million, 24.5 guaranteed. He missed pretty much all of 2020 due to injury. But, you know, I felt like the Giants really did. It felt like the rich got richer with their secondary. You know, you're adding Adoree Jackson to a secondary with James Bradbury, who's a borderline top five corner. A Logan Ryan, who's a veteran in the league, who's been doing the job for the last couple of years. Last year, his first year with the Giants, obviously. Jabril Peppers, who had a really, really good breakout season last year. And Xavier McKinney, that's who I was forgetting, who will probably get in there as a slot corner, probably get some snaps at safety as well, who was injured most of last year, but really shined towards the back half of the season. I really like what the Giants are doing with their secondary. I have big time belief in them. They really had a good second half last year. And I think the Adoree Jackson signing just makes them all the more better. Devontae Booker, running back, cheap deal. 2 years, 5.5. He'll be the backup to Saquon Barkley. I don't know necessarily how much I love that because he really, sorry about that. Preseason, he didn't look good. So, you know, at the end of the day, hopefully you won't have to use him too much because, as we know, Wayne Train is gone. Rest in peace to the Wayne Train. Moving on, Kyle Rudolph. This is the only other notable one I really think we need to talk about. Signed to a one-year deal. I like this signing. I think that, you know, it's a guy who's proven. He's a proven tight end in this league. He's a pretty good blocker, but he's a really good pass catcher when he was in his prime. I think that the Giants might be running a lot of packages with two tight ends. And so if you could pair Ingram with Kyle Rudolph, it takes a lot of pressure off of Evan Ingram, who unfortunately isn't starting week one with a calf injury. But all things considered, I actually really like that signing. It's a cheap, low-risk, high-reward deal, and I really can't complain too much about it. Yeah, and I think that's really all the notable signings. I guess Leonard Williams counts. They locked him up, which is good. They needed to do that. Yeah, other than that, I think we're ready to get into the games.
All right, so let's just go through the Jets and Giants schedules. We're not going to do what we did last year. We're just going to kind of skim through it, say what we believe is going to end up happening. And, yeah, so I'm going to start with the Jets real quick. First game is in Carolina. They play the Panthers. This is this Sunday. I'm actually going to this game, so I'm very excited for that, seeing the Jets play in non-MetLife Stadium. But, yeah, I think that the Jets could win this game. I'm very confident that Zach Wilson versus a young Carolina team doesn't have their assets together, new quarterback, very similar situation. I'm going to say Jets win. So Jets start 1-0. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets start 1-0. Then the next two games are home against the Patriots and then away against the Broncos. Once again, two more new quarterbacks and new systems with Mac Jones and Teddy Bridgewater. I'm going to say they drop one of these and hopefully win the other. I mean, I doubt it because it's the Jets, but I'm going to say Jets start 2-1. So that's my – I don't know which game they'll win, but Jets start 2-1. Then the next three games, they play Titans, Falcons, Patriots. I really see them dropping all three of these. There's no way that they – October, I feel like, is not going to be a good month for the Jets. I'm not going to be as optimistic as I was last year. Last year, I had them going 7-9. Yeah, this year, I'm not going to make that same mistake. So if I'm saying they're starting 2-1, which is already a stretch as it is.
But if the Jets start 2-1, people are going to get so hyped.
Yeah, but it's not happening. So I'm going to say Jets drop to 2-4. They lose to the Titans, Falcons, Patriots. Then they play Bengals, Colts, Bills. I'm going to say their highest chance of winning out of those three is definitely the Bengals. That's on Halloween. That's at home. I'm going to say they win that game. So they go to 3-4, and then they drop the next two against the Colts and the Bills. Go to, what is that, 3-4, 3-6. So 3-6 going into November 21st. Their next three games are Dolphins, Texans, Eagles. I feel like all three of those games are winnable, low-key. I'm going to say that they win two, drop one, but that's going to be the point where, I don't know, I'm going to be like, oh, the Jets aren't that bad. Maybe they could win a few games. So as of right now, I think that has me putting the Jets at 5-7, if I'm not wrong, where they lose one of those against the Dolphins, Texans, or Eagles, but win the other two. Then their next three games, I'll just go there. So what do I have them as?
Beat Philly, by the way. Like,
say again?
I said, please beat Philly, by the way.
I hope so. I think that if there's a year, the Jets are 0-8 all time against the Eagles. So
pathetic. Yeah,
they got to get at least one win in. So then their next two games, they're home against the Saints. They're away against the Dolphins. I'm going to say they drop both of those. Then their last three games are Jaguars, Bucks, Bills. I'm excited for the Jaguars-Jets game. You got
Lawrence is going to be
fun. Pick one versus pick two.
Yeah.
Then they play the Bucks. They play the Bills. That's right. That's January 2nd, January 9th. So, you know what? I doubt that they win those games, but I'm going to say I hope that they beat the Jaguars, and I'm going to put the Jets at, what is that at this point? 6-11? I think that might be 7-10. I think I might have them at 7-10. So,
what wins did you have?
Say that again.
I'm trying to think. You had Carolina.
Okay, so here I'll run through it right now. So, just really quickly,
Carolina. I'm just trying to think of the games you picked. You picked Carolina and Denver's wins. You picked Cincy as a win.
Well, let me just run through it real quick. Okay. So I'm just gonna go really quickly, just rapid fire. Week one. So 1-0. They play the Patriots 1-1. They play the Broncos 2-1. Titans, Falcons, Patriots 2-4. Bengals 3-4. Colts 3-5. Bills 3-6. Dolphins, Texans, Eagles. I'm gonna say they go 5-7. They win two of those. Saints 5-8. Dolphins 5-9. Jaguars 6-9. And then Bucks, Bills, they lose. So 6-11. So, you know what, that's, I think, realistic. The Jets aren't a playoff team yet. They've obviously in a rebuilding phase. I can't speak. Carl Lawson's out. There's going to be more injuries over the year. I'm glad CJ Mosley's back. I'm very hyped to watch this team again. But I think that there's a big difference in narrative from last year. I'm hoping that Marcus May is able to stay on the team. There's definitely some issues with the management and his agents and that kind of thing. But 6-11 is my final prediction for the Jets.
There. Hopefully they don't win two games only again, because that happened last year.
Yeah, that'll be a little depressing.
That would really suck. Yeah, I'd feel like no progress was made. Anyway, on to the Giants. So, the Giants were one game away from making the playoffs last year. Does that mean I'm really high on them or no? Let's see. I'm going to get into the games. They're going to lose week one. They always lose week one. Not necessarily because I think that Denver is so much better than the Giants. In fact, I think they're pretty even talent-wise. It's just they always win. They just don't win week one games. That's the first thing. The second thing is I'm still just really concerned with the offense, and Denver has a very good defense. Week two, Washington, loss, 0-2. I know that we usually beat Washington, but like I said, I think Washington improved a lot more. In a lot of aspects, I think that team probably deserved to make the playoffs. They were definitely the best team in the NFC East last year. It's a short week going into that game, so that's 0-2. I think they beat Atlanta at home to advance to 1-2. I think that the Falcons have tricked themselves into thinking that they can still really compete for a playoff spot this year, when in actuality that's not the case at all. So 1-2. New Orleans, I think that's a loss. The Saints still have a really, really talented team, obviously. Despite losing Drew Brees, I think that they're just still a better team than the Giants. Dallas, week five, loss, 1-4. That's just a tough game playing in Jerry World, and the Cowboys looked really, really good last night. So I think the Giants will start 1-4, and people will start freaking out because the Giants never have a good start to the season, but this is just how I foresee it going. Rams at home. This is the upset that I'm picking for the Giants. I think that they can win this game for no other particular reason other than intuition. I think that the Rams are a really, really, really talented team. In fact, they'd be my pick to win the NFC West. But my sole purpose is that I think that the Giants have a much better chance to beat Denver, Washington, and Dallas. But I think this will be a trap game and the Giants will beat the Rams, kind of like how the Jets did last year. And then Carolina, week seven, that'll be a win. So the Giants will prove to 3-4. I think that the Giants and Carolina are very similar teams talent-wise, but I like the Giants in that game because they're at home, so on and so forth. Kansas City, that's a loss. I don't even have to get into that. It's Monday Night Football at Arrowhead. They're going to get blown out. Interesting one, week nine against Vegas. I'm going to pick the Giants to win because I think that by that point, they'll have won two in a row, gone into Kansas City and get smacked around. But, you know, it's a home game. They've got Vegas, who a team that really collapsed down the stretch last year, a team that I'm not really all that high on at all. I think that that's a winnable game for the Giants. And I think that if they're going to get on track and have a good season, it's a game they have to have. So, as I said, the Giants are sweeping the birds. Week 13, I really hate myself for this one, but I really think the Giants can win in Miami. I really don't believe in Tua, and although they have a lot of talent, the Dolphins did, and they had a really, really good year last year. I think that's a game the Giants – I think that's a winnable game for the Giants, and given that I have them going on a little bit of a better streak going into October, leading into November – I think that they get that game. Chargers, week 14, I think that's a loss. I really think that Miami Chargers, they could go either way. I believe they'll go 1-1, but I'm just going to say they'll beat Miami and lose to the Chargers. Justin Herbert's a stud, by the way. The Giants should have drafted him a year later and drafted defense Josh Allen and then taken Justin Herbert. Daniel Jones isn't that good. But anyway, week 15, we're going to beat Dallas at home. So I'm trying to do the math in my head. I think that brings the Giants to 7-7. Week 16, Philly on the road. Like I said, we're sweeping the Birds, 8-7. Bears. This one's tough for me because the Bears are a team I really don't have a great read on. And because, you know, there's just been – it's a lot different from last year, even though they were a playoff team last year. It's on the road, and the Giants have the Bears' first-round pick next year. The Bears are going to win that game. So what is that? 8-8, Washington. I think they'll win that. If, hold on, this is the tentative. If that game for somehow matters, if the Giants are 8-8, if it somehow matters, they'll lose and drop to 8-9. If the game doesn't matter, they'll be 9-8.
Okay, so you have the.
And I really think that I was optimistic with those picks.
Yeah, but
I think regardless, that the Giants could easily go 4-13. I have the Giants winning a lot more close games this year because they lost a lot of close games last year. And typically when a team adds talent after losing a lot of close games, it really does show difference. I'm also tentatively trying to have faith that Daniel Jones will not suck this year. I really think the Giants have more talent than they're being given credit for. But it comes down to offensive line and Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones sucks this year, he's got to be gone. And so does Gettleman. But then everything's – the Giants, it's a really, really big make-or-break year for the Giants because you don't want to have to let go of Gettleman and keep a coach that everyone's on a different timeline and a new quarterback and blah, yada, yada, yada. The Giants have to – the reason I'm picking them to go 8-9, I'll say 8-9. Is because they have to win at least 8 games. They have to improve. Otherwise, the whole organization is going to go down the toilet again. So they have to win games this year. It's a huge, huge season for the Giants that will impact the next 5 to 10 years greatly. So that's all I really have to say about the Giants so far going into this season. I'm tentatively optimistic. I'm probably more optimistic about this team than I have been since 2017, the year after they went 11-5 and lost to Green Bay in the wild card game. But I'm more confident than last year too. But at the end of the day, I don't think they are good enough to win the NFC East. I don't think Daniel Jones is the guy, and I want to be proven wrong. But I think that they'll go – I'm picking officially 8-9. But don't be surprised if they go 4-13 and blow it all up again. Then again, also don't be surprised if they go. I think their ceiling is 10-7, and their floor is like 4-13. Is that fair?
No, I think that's fair. So, final ish predictions potentially. Giants, we got 8-9 around there for Jets.
We'll
I think
we'll say
11. So yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I
guess
that's
fair. I think that we're both being. More so me. I'm being optimistic this year.
No, like I'm being optimistic. The Jets could go 2-15.
Hopefully that doesn't blow up in my face. Well, you have so much more to go up compared to me as well.
All right. Well, that's just about going to wrap up our NFL preview. So we are getting back into our bi-weekly episodes. By that, I mean three. So we'll have our Mets, Yankees, Knicks-ish preview recap, the Mets, whatever the hell it is.
Suck, by the way, and they're playing each other this weekend.
Yeah,
and
no.
They both suck, and they both underachieved. And I'm just gonna save my Yankees thoughts for now.
Yes. But I'm angry. So, we'll talk more about this next episode. I'm sorry if it was choppy. This Wi-Fi at my school isn't great, so I'm sorry if there's any time during this episode where it gets a little weird. I'm sorry for Kyle's notifications that continuously pop up, but
sure, so. Apologize. We're still trying to get back into it.
We're a little rusty.
3 months off is a long time, and I'm glad we're back. This is a nice thing we do.
Absolutely. So that's just
about Giants, no Jets. We're going 2-0 this weekend.
Yep. All right. So just drop your socials real quick. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at Anthony Evangelista. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Anthony EV7. And if you want to follow the account, we're at Big Apple Sports Media on both Instagram and TikTok. And what about you, Kyle?
Yeah, we're going to start posting again on that, by the way.
Yes.
As always, I am at Kai1EKeegan. That's Kyle with a 1, not an L. KY1EKeegan. KEEGAN. I'm stoked to be back, Anthony. I am stoked to be back.
Hopefully, I'm also stoked to be back.
Hopefully, the Giants and Jets can do some New York Knicks-esque stuff this year. You know,
yes, sir.
That would be fun. All right. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.
Thanks, guys.